But you must come with us. After they have learned that you helped us escape, the Baron's men will chill you, or even worse.
I can handle myself in this, Vil.
I do not understand. When we first came upon you and Moira, I got the impression you were trying to escape. Now you have the opportunity to leave this Vil behind forever, and you are refusing.
I can't leave my daughter behind.
We shall come back and get her.
Eleander shook her head. It was obvious to Doc that no matter what he said, Eleander was going to say no for one excuse or another.
I can't leave. It was foolish of me to think I could leave this place.
All right, then. If you cannot leave this place, then do not think of it in that way. Think of it as coming with me. I have seen many excellent pieces of land in my travels. We could pick one, grow our own food. We could start up a business, anything you like, as long as we are together.
Eleander smiled at that.
You're so sweet, Theo.
Then you will come with me, with us?
No, I can't. There might have been a way, but I haven't prepared for it.
I don't understand.
She raised her hand and gently placed the back of it against Doc's cheek. Then she reached over with her other hand and pulled back the sleeve covering her right arm. Doc glanced at her as she removed the armband covering the elbow.
Oh, Eleander, no.
Doc could see the arm more clearly now, which was pitted and scarred with dozens of needle marks and sores.
I can't leave this place because it has what I need. If I left, I would go mad within a week, and then the memory you'd have of me would be a painful one. It's better that you leave now, and remember me as I was.
Doc's eyes darted quickly about, as if he were searching for a solution to this tangled situation.
I could get you through this. Mildred Wyeth's a doctor, a real pre-dark doctor, and she could get you off that junk so you would never need it again.
I've been on it so long. The withdrawal would probably kill me. Just go before you put your life and the lives of your friends in danger.
Eleander leaned forward and gave Doc a kiss.
Goodbye, Theophilus Algernon Tanner.
Doc struggled to say the word.
Goodbye.
And then she was gone, running back toward the Vil. The bus was about to drive through the line of flame when the vehicle suddenly came to a jarring halt.
What the fuck's wrong?
The fire started up again and burning hotter.
Robarts ran to the front of the bus and slammed his fist on the dashboard.
Damn Outlanders!
What do you want me to do?
Go through it!
Grayson hesitated.
I said go through it!
The Baron's left hand shot out and struck the driver in the side of the head. Grayson quickly recovered, rubbed his head, and put the bus into gear. When Doc finally reached the wag, Ryan noticed that someone was conspicuously absent.
Where's Eleander?
She elected to remain behind, to open the gate for us.
Christy helped Doc up into the box.
She's not joining us?
No. She must stay, for reasons that I do not quite understand.
Christy put a hand on Doc's shoulder.
I'm so sorry, Doc.
As am I.
We'll talk about this later. Right now, we've got a busload of Sekhmen on our tail.
The friends turned and saw the yellow bus approaching, its engine racing as it plowed through the wall of fire. When it burst through the fire, licks of flame clung to the sides of the vehicle and the rear tires ignited, sending plumes of black smoke trailing behind it, as if it were some ancient pre-dark locomotive.
Hang on!
The big wag the friends were riding in started to move. Sherman and Roy moved as close to the Vil's main gate as they dared. Any farther and they would have a crowd of muties to contend with before they even got inside the Vil. There was a mob attacking a man to the left of the gate. He'd fallen from the crow's nest overlooking the Vil, and within seconds of his hitting the ground, more than a dozen muties were tearing into his flesh.
Think the Baroness will be able to get the gate open for us?
Do you doubt the Baroness?
Oh, no, not at all. It's just that she only went in with two men. The gate's guarded.
Do you see the smoke rising up from the Vil?
Yes.
Do you think everything is calm inside? That it's business as usual in there?
No, but...
The gate will be open for us, either by the Baroness or someone under her control.
And then, as if on cue, a sliver of light appeared between the two doors.
Hey, it's opening.
Get ready to move.
Ryan climbed up into the box.
Mildred, take the forward position and keep the muties away from JP.
Right!
Doc, take the left side. Christy, the right.
Ryan then looked at Jack. He was breathing heavily through his nose and his head moved from side to side, as if he were trying to shake off some demon. His face looked as if he were racked with pain. His body strained to get free of his restraints, but the effort just caused him more pain and frustration. Ryan picked up the scatter gun that had belonged to one of the dead Sekmen guarding the armory and rested it against the top of the back wall of the box. Then he looked over the lid so he could take aim. The wag hit a bump in the road as he squeezed the trigger, and the big blaster's load of lead was off the mark. Instead of hitting the driver and everyone else at the front of the bus, he sprayed the engine compartment with buckshot. Steam poured out of the front of the bus. The vehicle slowed slightly, but it didn't stop. Ryan checked the blaster to see if there was a shell in the second chamber, and was happy to see there was. If he could lift the blaster off the steel box, he could have a better shot, no matter the condition of the road. He moved the last gas can so he could use it as a step, but his plan was called off by JB.
Brace yourself! Gate's not opening fast enough!
Ryan turned and looked forward. The gate was opening, but too slowly to be out of the way by the time the big wag passed through it. They were going to have to partially ram the gate and hope that the wag's frame was solid enough to withstand the force of the impact. Ryan jumped down onto the floor of the box.
Everyone get down!
All of the friends, except for Jack, got into a crouch and waited for the moment of impact. The bus driver choked on the steam that rose up from the front of the bus. The temperature gauge, one of the only things that still worked on the big wag, was quickly rising. A few more minutes at this rate, and the whole engine would blow or seize up.
I've got it! Stop!
What? You're not stopping for anything. I want those bastards for what they did to my Bill.
Your Bill? What do you mean, your Bill?
Baron DeMann's dead. He was murdered by those Outlanders. And I want them to pay for what they did.
Didn't the Baron ever name a successor?
He never said a word to me. I'm in charge now, and I say keep driving.
But the engine is gonna overheat, and after it seizes up, you'll never be able to use it again.
Robards had had enough with Grayson. His job was to follow orders, not to question them. And it would do Robards no good to have Sekmen questioning his authority, not now in a time of crisis, or later when everything had been sorted out. He raised his blaster and put a round into Grayson's head. Then he grabbed him by the jacket and pulled him from the driver's seat, throwing him down the steps and out the open doorway. The bus swerved slightly to the left, without a pair of hands keeping the wheel steady, but Robards took the driver's seat and managed to bring the bus under control. While he'd been arguing with Grayson, the bus had slowed to a crawl, and the big wag had pulled away. Robards stomped on the accelerator, and the bus jumped forward. More steam began to billow out of the front of the bus, but the engine was still running. Hopefully it would run long enough for them to catch and kill the escaping Outlanders.